AFK discussions start now.
What hearts beat on the edge of reason? Every answer spawns a deeper question. If you could see the world the way I see it, would you dare step into the tension? What hides beyond the veil we're taught to trust?
Hey, welcome back to AFK Discussions. Guys, tonight's show is incredible. We have Monique from Date Night with the Ghost Gang. So,
that's
guys,
it. Hi.
Yes. So, it's very, really cool. I want to tell you guys really quick, go to our sponsors. That's fattech.com. Check out all their stuff. They have you covered from small to all the way to 5X. It's getting weird out there. So they have body armor for bigger guys. So if it's, you know, who knows, you may need body armor because, you know, like the world's going crazy. So anyways, if you need some, go check them out. They got you covered. Also guys, this is such an awesome thing. The date night going out and exploring, haunted locations is awesome. My wife and I, we really are into spooky stuff. So it's really cool. So, Monique, just tell me a little bit about what you guys do.
Okay, so we call ourselves paranormal investigators. We have all the equipment and that sort of thing. But it started out just a bit of a thrill, go out ghost hunting. I did it about 20 years ago before all the equipment became a big thing in Australia. And that was during a previous marriage. And I just started, I found that fire in my belly again, and I started watching things like Ghost Hunters on YouTube, and we discovered Twin Paranormal and the Overnight Channel, and my husband just said, oh, this is really, really cool. Can we do that one night? And I said, hell yeah. And it was just what I needed to get back into it, because there'd been probably about a five to seven year hiatus for myself, going through divorce and all that sort of thing. So I said, let's do it. Because before that, we're going off to the movies, out to dinner, and it was becoming a bit mundane. We needed a little bit more excitement. So I said, let me show you some places. And there's a place just 10 minutes from where we live now, a place called Picton. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I haven't.
It's very, well, pretty well known worldwide to be Australia's most haunted town. And there's an old disused train tunnel that is meant to be one of the most haunted locations. And I said to Anthony, I'll take you there one night. And so we went down there one night, and he was freaked out. He's always been a bit of a skeptic, but not, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
He just wants the proof. So he said, you know what, there's something in this. When can we go back? And then he gets stuck, fixated on things, and he's got to have more. He becomes obsessed. And he said, you know what, if we're going to do this, I want all the equipment. And so before I knew it, he had cases full of equipment. And I said, well, there's no point in having equipment if we're not going to put it on video and do something with it. And he said, no, this is just our thing. Memories, we can look back on it later on. And I said, what's the point in spending all this money? I said, there's people that will want to see this. And so it just rolled from there. And finally, when he had the right camera and all that sort of thing, he said, all right, let's do a YouTube channel. So that's how it all happened, and we called it Date Night with the Ghost Gang because we were jokingly calling ourselves the Ghost Gang. One night we're going off to Picton Tunnel, and I said, you know what, I think we call this Date Night with the Ghost Gang because it's our date night. So it's all evolved from there.
That is so awesome. I really, really like the whole idea behind this. And you mentioned the twins. Twin Temp Paranormal is one of my favorite YouTube channels. They are great.
We adore them. We adore them. I've actually got one of their
hoodies on at the
moment. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
It's cozy and So we love them. We love them. We love Elton on the Overnight Channel. Mm-hmm. They're probably two of our favorites, and Project Fear.
Oh yeah, Project Yes.
We love those guys. So if we're not hunting, we're watching YouTube, other people, and becoming inspired and getting ideas and that sort of thing. So we really want to get over your way.
Oh yeah, that'd be great for you guys to come over here. So I'm in Tennessee. And the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee is very steeped in mystery, and it's a really, really special place. A lot of hauntings. Gosh, there's just so much here. So, but I mean, America, you know, is fairly young compared to other places in the world. I mean, we have a lot of Native American things that went on here, but I know that Australia, there's a lot of history in Australia, a lot of, I guess, tragedy with it being the penal colony. Is that, do you think that's why there's a lot of haunted stuff that goes on there?
I think so. There's a lot of restless souls who were brought here and, you know, things like stealing a loaf of bread and they'll transport it to Australia and they were convicts and, you know, under terrible conditions. So I think there are a lot of tormented and restless souls around here. And when it comes to the asylums, a lot of these people were thrown into asylums when they left prison, if they survived prison. Simple, as you'd know from the asylums over there back in the day, especially being a woman, you only had to, you know, be going through your menstrual cycle and your husband didn't want to deal with it and said, okay, off you go, you're nuts. So, and things, I was reading something when we recently went to Arrowdale Asylum that things as little as falling off a horse made them determine you as crazy and they'd put you in an institution.
Wow.
You go through the list. It's like people don't want to deal with you, off you go. So it's really crazy, and the asylums are probably the most haunted places we've been to. That's for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of asylums here that are, I'm sure you've seen on the shows like the Pinhurst Asylum and others that are just very, very active. And a lot of the same stuff that you were talking about, like people would get put into asylum for, you know, no reason. So I have ADHD, you know, so, so, I mean, something like that, you know, something very minor nowadays would, I mean, they would consider you, you know, they would lock you up for that, you know.
That's it. I would have been locked up a long time ago, especially being divorced and remarried, because even divorce was a reason to put a woman in an institution. And postnatal depression, things like that, you just go through the list and it goes on and on and on and on and on. And then in Australia, combine that with the convicts and that sort of thing. You've got so much history and so many unhappy souls, unfortunately. So there's a lot to explore here, but we're not like you guys.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the authorities, I guess you'd say, in this country aren't as open to paranormal investigating as they are in the US. And Britain. So you've got to get approval for so many places, and it's sending me a bit crazy because I'm trying to form a list of where to go to next. And it's not a straight road. You think you've contacted the right person and then you get a response like, oh, it's not through us. You've got to contact the health department, or you've got to contact the National Trust to try to get approval. And then you might get approval to get in, but then you need extra approval to film. So there's so many closed doors, and it's very, very frustrating. So we're saying we've got to get over to America, and it just seems you're a lot more open to it over there, a lot more to people exploring and investigating that side of life and death.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like I was saying earlier, in where I live in the Smoky Mountains, there's a lot of what you would call ghost towns, abandoned towns that right. are from the, you know, mid to late 1800s that are just in our mountains. And we can, you can just go explore. Like, you know, I've been there, you know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and just, you know, drive up, get out and walk around. You know, it's great.
You're so lucky, because places that are abandoned over here, they're normally purchased from someone private who wants to maybe hold on to it until it's run down enough to knock down if it's heritage listed. So it's gated off. There's cameras everywhere. If you sneak in, then you might be arrested because there's security everywhere. So we face things like that, or it's, like I said before, it's taken over by the health department or some kind of government body where you just can't access it. So the only places that we can access that are abandoned, we usually have to sneak into. And then we're risking our name and you know, we have 8 children between us, so it gets a bit scary where you think, what if we're arrested and we've got these kids to look after? Luckily, mm-hmm. they're a little bit older, but it's a little bit scary. It's a big, big risk.
Yeah, I have 3 children also. And it's one of those things that if, you know, some abandoned buildings, like in the cities and stuff, they are not, you're not able to get into unless you sneak in, unfortunately. Yeah. But there are places like that, but there are places that you can go into. And some places, you know, they allow you, but you have to pay for entrance.
Yes.
I'm going to a prison in November. And so we're paying, and we get to stay from 10 p.m. till 4 a.m., which I know it's times different. And I'm not used to the 24-hour clock, so I'm used to our so I guess it would be, what would it be?
10 p.m. to 4 a.m.
Yeah, so 4 a.m. would be 4, but 10 p.m. would be, let's see, 24.
So oh, it's like 22
to 4.
Yeah, 2200. Yeah.
My brain doesn't work in 24 hours.
I know mine either, but my son has recently joined the military, and so he talks to me in 24-hour time. Hang on, let me work it out.
Yeah. So that's interesting, because I just assume that if, you know, America is mainly on the, you know, the AM and PM, but is Europe on the 24-hour clock? Or I didn't know if Australia was or not, or
no,
I don't know.
We're just on the 12-hour.
Okay, okay.
Cycle.
Okay, yeah, that's great.
I don't know about Europe.
Yeah. I just assumed it, you know, we in America were the weird ones. You know.
Hey, we're all weird. We're all weird. Especially in this field, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. So something that's very interesting. I don't know if you've had any experiences, but I know there's a lot of legends about the Yowie. Have you, do you know anything about that?
Look, I've never looked into it. I used to hear stories as a kid. I don't know. To be honest, I kind of laugh and turn my head, but who's to say it's not there? It's like your Bigfoot, isn't it?
Yes,
who's to say it's not there? There's been legends for years and years, and I think it goes back to our native people. Mm-hmm. I think that's where it comes from. I've never seen anything, but I kind of avoid looking into it and laugh at it. But people are the same with ghost hunting, aren't they? So And there's Yowies and Bunyips here, so I don't even know what a Bunyip is, but there used to be legends about them when we were kids as well. So I think a Bunyip used to hang around a billabong, which is you guys would probably call a swamp.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got your little Shrek people. Little Shrek people, the Yowies. I mean, Bunyip.
The Bunyip. So are they like, I guess, trolls or like something like that? I don't know, because I've never heard of it either. So I'm just.
You said you haven't heard of the Bunyip?
No, I haven't.
That's an Aboriginal native thing as well. So I think it is like a troll. It might be a bit like a Bigfoot that hangs out in a swamp or a billabong, but there's songs and everything about bunyips. Mm.
So. I'm going to have to do some research on that now.
Yeah, research a bunyip.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
So,
I don't know what area of Australia you're in, but so what is... You said the one place is one of the most haunted places in Australia. Now, is there other places that are very active? Like, I don't know, with the Aboriginal folklore. I'm sorry.
Continue. You just cut out.
Okay, sorry. I just said I didn't know like what area you're in Australia, but are there any like legends of like haunted areas that are like Aboriginal, like haunted legends or anything like that?
I haven't looked a great deal into that. I am aware, and I'm trying to think of the name of it. We're in Sydney, which is New South Wales.
Okay. Yes.
And it's on the east coast of Australia. And then if you travel further up north, you cross into Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Brisbane is.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere in Queensland, there's apparently a water hole that is haunted by native people. And I'm trying to remember what the legend is, but I recently was reminded about it. A woman, I think, was preparing to marry in their way, her fiancé, I guess you'd say, but it wasn't approved by her family. So she threw herself into this waterhole and apparently she haunts it. Oh, I wish I remembered the name of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the only one I'm aware of. There's lots of places that all of... Most of the haunted prisons and asylums and that have a lot of native hauntings, apparently, that kind of combine with the newer, the more recent souls that haunt. So you can go anywhere to these old buildings and it's... You're wondering who you're connecting with. You've got to determine, is this an Indigenous person or is it someone who was committed to this asylum or jail, or was it a slave? If it's a haunted house we're talking about, a lot of the people who colonised and built these homes would have Indigenous slaves working with them. So, and they didn't treat them well. They locked them up in cells under the house, much like what happened over there
in America.
So there's so many layers to the hauntings over here, as well as there would be over there. You've got the Civil War and all that sort of thing. Yeah. We had something similar over here, as well as the people being taken as slaves, which is really, really sad. So you never know what you're going to get when you go to a haunted place.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So this is just a random question because I don't know. Yeah. I was just thinking about it when you were talking. Now, I don't know, is in that part of the world, I know we have a lot of, like, down in the south of America, like Florida and stuff, there's a lot of pirates and stuff. And I think of Australia as, like, it's a very big island, essentially. So is there any, like, like any legends of, like, pirates and stuff like that that happened in Australia? Not really?
No, we don't have anything like that is well known. No.
I was just thinking about that because I'd never thought of it. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
It's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
But no, we don't have anything like that I can think of over here.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
I love it. Yes.
So what is probably your favorite location you've ever visited, and like what happened there that made it your favorite?
Okay, I've got three favorites.
Okay.
The most recent favorite is at Arradale Asylum.
I lost you for a second. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Sorry, my husband tried calling me. He's probably asking how it's going. yes, Arradale Asylum. We went there 3 weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago. We went on a paranormal road trip for a week, and that's in Victoria. So we travelled to get to Arradale Asylum from where we live. It's like an 8-hour drive. So we travelled to our first destination, which was Beechworth. I'm not sure if you've heard of Beechworth Asylum.
I have not.
So that's probably I'd say it would be the second largest asylum in Australia. And we did a 5-hour investigation there and stayed overnight. We also went to Beechworth Jail, which is an old abandoned jail. However, we went to Arradale Asylum from there, which is another 4.5-hour drive from Beechworth. So we've got 4.5 hours to Beechworth and then 4 or 4.5 hours to Arradale, which is in Ararat. So it's all country Victoria. It's another state. And that was by far the scariest place I've ever been in, the most active. I like to debunk everything. And so I'll hear a knock in front of me and I'll think, okay, so is that an animal? Is that someone hiding and playing jokes with us? I like to debunk everything, but there was just no explanation for the things that happened there. And still 3-4 weeks later, I'm spooked about what happens there. So I don't know if you've seen any of the little clips that I've put up on Instagram and TikTok and that sort of thing, but we had knocking on these partitions in this asylum in one of the wards right in front of us, and it was intelligent. So we said, if that's someone there, can you knock again, knock louder? Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where it started off just a tap, tap here, tap there, just to get our attention, to going like that and louder and coming probably about 3 foot in front of us. So you're hearing these sounds, you're seeing where it's coming from, but you can't see anything. And I've got goosebumps thinking about it because there's just no explanation. That can't be staged. It's not an animal. We didn't see an animal. It's just so, so active there, and it's full of tormented, restless souls, and you can feel the heaviness when you walk in. You're walking, you know, one of those places, walking and you can feel hundreds of eyes, thousands of eyes on you. You feel you're in the presence of something, but there's nothing there.
Yeah.
So it was absolutely mind-blowing. So that it convinces me, but I keep saying to my husband, Anthony, I want to be scratched. It might sound crazy, but I want to be scratched. And everywhere we go, I say, maybe this is the night and I'll be scratched. Because to me, that's it's physical evidence.
Yeah.
Isn't it? How much more physical can you get?
Yeah. So I have not been scratched.
Yeah.
But I was with someone who got scratched and I witnessed it. So that, it was pretty intense.
It is. It's intense. I've seen someone not be scratched, but we're in an old hospital, an overnighter, and we had some friends with us. And one of them, he said, oh, I've got burning on the back of my neck. And you look at it in the light and there's a handprint, like a burn mark, on the back of his neck. And even seeing that, I thought, did he somehow do that? I don't know. I want to debunk it. However, if that happened to me, I'd have no choice but to believe it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to just blindly believe. I need proof.
Yeah.
We've got so much equipment and I like to debunk that. And equipment's equipment, like we know with computers and phones and anything electrical, there's going to be faults.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be faults in paranormal equipment. So I think our biggest pieces of paranormal equipment would be ourselves, our senses.
Yeah, so, definitely.
And even then you think you're going crazy, don't you? Because you second guess yourself. Did I see that? Did I feel that? Did I hear that?
Yeah, so you were talking about the equipment. You know, it's hard to tell if it's, you know, if it's real, what you're experiencing is real. Like, you know, it could be like with the REM pods, it could be just a fluctuation in the temperature or something, you know, that makes it go off. So the same night that the person I was with that got scratched, we had a REM pod, we had a music box, we had a motion detector light, all in this room, and all of them went off. It was insane.
That is the confirmation that we just love to get, because, you know, you might hear a knock and then you say, was that you? And the REM pod responds and then the music box goes off and things like that. And that's what we want, things following one after the other, so you know that it's just double, triple confirmation.
Oh, yeah,
100%. I love it. And this is what that happened for us at the quarantine station in Manly in Sydney. Mm. Have you heard of the quarantine station?
I have not, no. It sounds pretty ominous.
It is. So apparently over 2,000 people are not reported but passed away there from things like smallpox, Spanish influenza. So they'd come in from other countries and they'd have to be quarantined. This mm-hmm. is back in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. They'd have to be quarantined if someone had a disease on this. They'd quarantine the whole ship. So many people passed away there. I think there's only about 500-600 recorded deaths, but a lot of their records were lost. There's a lot of things that weren't recorded. So over in the quarantine station, we've had a rock thrown in one of the hospital wards towards us, followed by a bang on the window, the music box going off, that sort of thing, and all in its succession. And you mm-hmm. just think, wow, okay, we know you're there. That's what we strive for. Love it.
I've experienced going up to a location and feeling like a heaviness on my chest, almost like a weight. And it was hard to breathe. And then once I left, I could breathe again. It was bizarre to experience something like that.
Would you classify yourself as a sensitive?
I guess I would. I've had a lot of experiences throughout my life.
I was trained in mediumship and tarot and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. For some reason, it doesn't work in the same way when I'm doing paranormal investigations. So when we're doing investigations, I feel I'm more of a sensitive empath rather mm-hmm. than being able to directly connect with souls. I just get that sensitive feeling. I can feel what they're feeling a lot. I might walk into a room and get a heaviness and get very emotional. And I've been trained to believe that that's, you're connecting with someone who feels that way. So that's why I've asked you, when you get that, do you feel like you're connecting with a particular soul, or is it just the general sense of the environment that you're feeling is heavy?
I guess it would be just the general sense of the environment. Almost like something didn't want me there, you know, feeling, you know, like very overwhelmed, almost, you know, getting sick to my stomach almost, you know, kind of feeling.
Yeah.
When
it goes into your stomach like that, mm-hmm. I found that I get in my solar plexus, like, you know the feeling when you've just been told the worst news and it's mm-hmm. just come out of the blue and it's a shock and you just feel that sense of dread.
Mm-hmm.
So when there's something darker around me, I get that feeling in the pit of my stomach, like I've just been slammed with the worst news. And it goes from there into my stomach where I feel physically sick.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to consider, that you know, if you feel it in your stomach, you might be connecting with that same kind of energy up in your chest where you're saying it's just an overwhelm, where you it doesn't feel right. It feels like a yuck environment.
And also I'll get like goosebumps also in some cases.
Yeah, that for me, that's a telltale sign that something's just come in really close to your aura.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hairs on the back of your neck goes up, and
mm-hmm.
and you get the goosebumps and think, oh, it's, you know what they used to say, someone just walked over my grave.
Yes, I've heard that before. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. We have sayings over here that you probably don't know, so I have to ask.
Yeah.
There's so much slang over here, and it comes from the convicts.
Yeah, yeah. We have a lot of slang also, especially, you know, in the southern United States.
Do you really?
Yeah, yeah. Like some of our words, you know, like I have to be careful because, you know, especially when I'm doing interviews of people from other countries, if I say something they, you know, you may not understand, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think we're like that too.
Yeah. I'm actually pretty familiar with, I guess some slang from Australia. My wife and I, we used to watch a show together that was filmed in Australia. It was a TV show. I really wish I could remember. I'm trying to remember. This whole conversation, I've been trying to think of the name of it. I know it's about these girls, and they have a farm, and they, I cannot.
Was it like McLeod's Daughters or something like that? McLeod's
Daughters. Really? That is it. Yes.
I've never watched it.
Really? My wife loved it, and I started watching it with her, and I got sucked in, and we watched the whole series. So, yeah.
Yeah, I always, especially with Australian movies, I avoid them.
Yeah.
Because hearing our accent, I get creeped out and I think, no, I can't. So we're the opposite. We like to watch American shows, American movies. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm the same way. Like the Southern accent kind of gets to me sometimes, whenever really? I hear it. Yeah. I've been told my accent is not that bad for the South.
It's not that thick.
Yeah. It's so weird. Some people from the South actually are like, where are you from? I'm like, oh, from Tennessee. I grew up here. They're like, no, really, where are you from? Cause I'm not talking, you know, with that hick style accent, you know, hey y'all, how's it going over here? You know, I don't talk like that.
That's it. And yeah, some people mistake me for being English sometimes because I'm not, g'day mate, how you going? Yeah. It's funny. I guess it's the way you brought up.
Yeah. Although my parents, they had a really thick Southern accent. So I don't know how I, you know, develop my, I guess, non-accent.
Isn't that funny? Maybe it comes down to watching TV and the kinds of shows you used to watch as a kid, mm-hmm. and you're developing your voice. And because the random kids over here speak with an American accent.
Really?
And you think, what is going on here? And then you think, okay, well, they watched a lot of shows as a kid, mm-hmm. you know, when they were younger and developing their language, and maybe they've just taken that on. It's really strange.
That's a good possibility because, see, I grew up skateboarding and I was really into that culture. So, like, the West Coast, like the surfer,
California, you know, accents
and stuff. Right. Yeah, like California. And I think that's maybe where some of my accent comes from, like listening to that. Yeah.
I bet that's what it is. Because I would have thought you were from the West Coast rather than Tennessee. Yeah. It's really interesting.
I guess it's a good thing. I don't know. But that's a huge misconception. I don't want to get stuck on accents, but that's a huge misconception when someone from the South speaks. People automatically like, oh, you know, you're uneducated, or by the way you sound, or you know,
really?
Talking about, yeah.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a shame that judgment comes just from the way you speak.
Yeah. There's a term they call people from Tennessee hillbillies. So that's.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize it was the people from Tennessee. I've just heard.
Well, it's this whole, the Appalachian area.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. The Appalachian. See, lots of things with the Appalachian area are starting to pop up on my feed.
Really? And it's very active with ghosts and, you know, Bigfoot and the, I don't know, have you heard of Dogman? The dog manatees kind of, it's like a werewolf that's seen in America. Yes. So look it up. It's very interesting.
It's so strange. I don't know what it is. I just, I'm not pulled in that direction. I'm going to look it up because I'm interested just to get it off my mind. Yeah. But I wouldn't go out Bigfoot hunting and that sort of thing because there's just something within me that is so, so skeptical. I'm just drawn to spirit, you know.
Yeah.
But then what's to say these other things like Bigfoot aren't spirit? Or you know, they could be aliens or something like that. And then you start thinking, you go down this rabbit hole, don't you? Because you think aliens actually spirit and they're manifesting in a different way. It's really interesting.
There's a big theory with Bigfoot that they are interdimensional. So that they come through portals to our plane of existence.
Really?
So, yeah. So that's really, I mean, and you know, with spirits also, that's, you know, are they interdimensional? Are we seeing a reflection of something on the other side? You know, it's such a big discussion because, you know, there's a bunch of theories. There's the, what they call the stone tape theory, which is that certain stones can record and play back imagery and sounds. And then, you know, there's the time slips where we may be witnessing the past, you know, playing out in front of us. I mean,
it's incredible.
Yeah.
You can send yourself crazy thinking about it, but it's definitely gets you thinking.
It does.
And can I just ask you?
Yeah.
Because this has been on my mind a lot lately. When it comes to demons, what people traditionally call demons, what's your stance on that? Because I can tell you what I think.
Okay. So I believe demons are, so if you go from a Christian point of view, from the biblical, so there was, you know, like Lucifer fell from heaven and he took X amount of the angels with him. So there's fallen angels. And those fallen angels interbred with humans, which created this hybrid race of beings called the Nephilim. All right. So whenever the theory goes that when the Nephilim died, their spirits weren't able to be redeemed. So they became the demonic spirits.
Okay.
So that's one theory, you know. And which I kind of buy into that theory myself. So
yeah, and that comes from more a biblical, like Christian, belief system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I've been questioning it a lot because with all the ghost hunting shows and the YouTube shows and stuff like that, and people say, "Are you a demon?" And I always laugh because to me, within me and with my mediumistic background and the belief system I have come to is that demons are just tortured souls of who were once living. And then if enough people give them energy and fear, they feed off that and they kind of morph into this manifestation of what everyone's fearing. So if they say, okay, there's a goat head demon in that house, and enough people say it, well, then no doubt there's a soul there, a restless, tormented, in pain soul in there. They've just kind of morphed into this goat-headed demon creature.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually feel sorry for these souls, and mm-hmm. and it makes me want to help them, because I think, no, they're not a demon. Don't yell at them and tell them to be gone. Mm-hmm. Try to help them. Don't be scared of them, because that's fearing. It's fearing them, showing them fear, and that's what they're turning into. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah,
there is a lot of what was interesting, what you were saying is you were saying that, you know, like all these people would say, you know, there's a demon, there's a goat head demon. And then that's what that morphed into. Now, yeah. There's also a in the I want to say Indian, like in from India, there's this thing called a tulpa. I don't know if you've heard of tulpas. So no. It's whenever like. A bunch of people, they believe in a certain thing so much that it brings it into reality.
It's so kind also of like that could mass be something hysteria. Like that.
Yes, maybe, but it actually manifests into a physical form.
Yeah.
And that's called a tulpa. So.
Oh, okay. I think when the Overnight Channel went to Japan, mm-hmm. and they went into the suicide forest or something. Mm-hmm. They were talking about something like that.
Hmm.
Yeah, yeah, which is really interesting. So I think I know what you mean.
Okay. Yeah. So like you've heard of Slender Man, right?
Yes.
Okay. So that is an idea of there was in America, there were these two young girls that sacrificed their friend. They killed her to Slender Man. And they said that he showed up or whatever. So that's one of these things that, you know, all these people on the internet were talking about Slender Man. Now, because of that, did that cause this entity to become physical?
So it's created like an elemental. Is that what you're saying?
I guess. I guess in theory, yeah, like elemental or I don't know exactly how to put it. So,
yeah, that's how it sounds. Because I know with someone I used to know was right into white magic mm-hmm. and would speak about elementals and how if you think badly about someone enough and you send all this bad energy to them, it can create like an elemental that basically sends them bad luck.
Hmm.
And that's when it's crossing more over into black witchcraft, I guess. But it kind of sounds a lot like what you're talking about when enough combined energy or powerful energy manifests, it can create something like that maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's possible. Yeah.
It's really interesting. So, yeah, I have heard that about Slender Man and often wondered, is that coming from a real thing? Mm-hmm. I've seen what looks like a Slender Man.
You have seen one? Sort like
it was more a shadow figure that was very, very tall. So I have seen that, and quite terrifying. And that combined with that feeling in the pit of my stomach that I was mentioning before. It's not nice, but who is the shadow man? There's probably thousands of shadow men, aren't there?
Yeah, the hat man. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen the hat man in photos that we've taken. But I don't think it's just one soul. I think it's multiple.
Mm. Yeah. Now, what I've experienced, I really don't know about what to think about the Hat Man, but I just really don't know where to go with that. Cause I mean, it's very specific figure, you know, with the brim hat, you know, so I don't know what these people, I just know people are seeing something. Now I have never seen a Hat Man per se in that aspect. I have seen something. I would say the opposite of a Hat Man. Instead of all black being all white and glowing like a white being in a white hat. Instead of being all black, it's all white. And it was standing at the foot of my bed when I was a teenager. So
that's interesting, because to me, if I saw that, I'd think, okay, this is one of my guides, or it's a past loved one who has come to visit, rather than being that of a haunting.
Yeah, a ghost. I thought it could have been possibly my grandfather, because my grandfather always wore a fedora. So that's where my mind went. But also, in my teenage years, I would experience it's hard to put into words, I guess I called it a black mass. It was like, do you know what a tumbleweed is?
Yeah.
Okay. Like the vines wrapped around into a ball.
Yeah.
Imagine that, but like it would twist and turn, and I'd wake up and it would be like floating above me at night.
Oh.
Like almost every night. It would be solid black, and it got to the point to where I wasn't scared. It would just make me angry because it would disturb my sleep. And I would swat at it, and it would always go up into this corner of my room, up in my ceiling, and just disappear. It was bizarre. But I mean, it happened almost every night. It was really weird.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah. So I don't know what that could be. Now I've only heard one other story that's like that, something very similar. And it was on are you familiar with the Confessionals podcast?
No, I'm not. Sorry.
So my friend Tony Merkel, which Merkel Media, I'm wearing his hat, but, he has a podcast called The Confessionals. Check it out if you have time. It's a really good show.
Yes. I'd love to look into that.
So this was about maybe 3 years ago when this was on, but it was actually a lady from Australia, and she had seen very similar things with the twisting, undulating, tumbleweedish black thing over her bed at night. And then it would disappear, but hers would turn into like a figure and stand there in her room. So that's really bizarre. So that, I don't know if those have something to do with a Hat Man. That's what I was trying to get at. Mine never became a figure, but I did have something similar to this other lady that did see like a Hat Man or a figure with these other entities. So
that's really interesting.
Yeah.
It's when I saw the, not the Hat Man, but the first time I saw a shadow figure was at a place called Berrima Courthouse. Mm. And it's only about half an hour from where we live. And we were just standing in this old courtroom very late, just having a silent vigil. And then I saw a black shadow moving towards us. It was like a shadow, but it wasn't against the wall. It was in midair. And it was very tall, probably about 7 foot high. And you could see the shape of it. And it moved towards us and then just stood there. And it was so thick that you couldn't see the wall through it.
Really?
And yeah, and we actually heard footsteps prior to it coming towards us. So it was so, so thick, like a black cloud that you couldn't see through.
Mm.
And yeah, I've seen similar at a jail called Parramatta Jail, but they just move so fast and they dart around, and they're not as thick as that shadow man that I saw that night at the courthouse. They're kind of smoky and thinner, like a shadow that's not against the wall, but mm-hmm. you kind of see through it, but just move so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really interesting.
I see them out of
the corner of my eyes a lot when I'm going to different locations. And even in our house, we've moved now, but there was a time where we were going to the jail a lot and we had something follow us home. Mm. And so I'd always be seeing things out of the corner of my eyes, and, you know, I might be watching Netflix or something with the back of the computer facing towards our door, and I'd see things like a hand reaching around the doorway and stuff like that. And so that was very active there. We told it to stay there.
Yeah. I've experienced that, so I know exactly how that feels. Yeah.
Yeah. So in our new house, we built this house probably about 5 months ago. We moved in 4 or 5 okay. months ago. So it's a brand new build, and I'm starting to see the odd thing, and I'm thinking, okay, well, they're starting to follow us again. I think they're just attracted to that curiosity, and they know that as a sensitive, I'm open to it. So I think that's like a guiding light, and they just kind of, okay, let's follow these guys.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, there's a saying that if you peer into the darkness peers back. So that could be the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess they're just as curious as we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the old house, we were doing an investigation one night, and we were connecting with a little boy who we discovered had been to jail with his mother, because we're in the women's wing, and apparently back in the day the women were sent to jail with their children a lot of the time.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, this little boy, we're connecting with him, and we could hear him on the spirit portal. He was calling myself and another lady we were with, Mummy, and he was interacting with us. And Anthony had a moment, and I think this was where he became a true believer, where he put his hand out and he could feel that the spirit of this little boy was holding onto his hand. And he had a very emotional connection. And he said, look, we're going now, but you can come with us if you like. You don't have to stay here. We've already got heaps of kids. What's one more? And then we forgot about it. We went home. And a few days later, and I'll send you a photo I have.
Oh, my gosh.
I was laying in bed and I saw something on the ceiling. And I got up and I said to Anthony, what the fuck is that? And I promise you, there was a handprint the size of a child's on the ceiling. And these ceilings were 10 foot high.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way, number one, none of our kids were that age. This was the handprint of a kid probably about 5 or 6 years old. None of our kids were that age. They're all older. Number two, even the 15, the 17, the 19-year-old kids wouldn't be able to reach that ceiling to have a flat handprint. And it was dirt.
Mm.
So we just couldn't make sense of it. We took a photo. So I'll send you the photo.
Definitely.
To show. It was crazy, but we used to get lots of activity on the SLS. We feel like he used to hang out in our walk-in wardrobe. That's where we kept all our ghost hunting equipment. So we think he somehow attached to all that and he felt comfortable in there. Not big on SLS cameras. However, when you see something climbing that looks like the size of a child, it makes you question. I think maybe 80% of the time those things just kind of track on to shapes in furniture and that sort of thing. But when you see something moving and it maintains the form of a person, and especially in this instance, the size of a child, it does make you question and you think, okay, well, it's got something there.
Yeah, definitely.
We had music boxes going off in that direction as well. So there's the double confirmation that we always look for.
Yeah, that
so
is.
So I'm just rambling. I go off on a tangent.
Fine. Yeah. No, that's great. I've experienced the SLS is, you know, one of those weird things. And I had one on my phone.
Right.
You know, just the ghost that's trip. What. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
And we had so in the mountains in Tennessee, there's a legend of the Cherokee Little People, which is the Cherokee Native Americans, their tribe. They had a legend of like little people, elves or fairies or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
But we had the SLS and we had the REM pod. And we were in that same area I was telling you about earlier, the cabins and stuff, where I had the heavy feeling and everything. So we were in that area and we had the REM pod and I had the SLS and you could see it, like a little figure, like standing on the REM pod, like inches tall, but it was dancing. Oh. It would like move its arms and I'm like, what is this? I mean, that's so bizarre. I mean, if it was picking up, say, like just lines or something, trying to make a figure out of it. But I mean, it was like literally like moving and then it would spin around like in a circle. And that was very bizarre.
It's doing a little pole dance on the rim.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I have that video somewhere. I'll send it. I'll find it and send it to you because, that is very bizarre. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll also send you the picture of the hat man that we picked up on camera in the quarantine station.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a great photo, but I can clearly make out the hat and it looks like he's wearing a big cloak. I can see it and I'm really skeptical of photos a lot, but it's something that I thought, no, there's something there. And it's a black shadow and it's blocking the light. So I'll send you that.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to see that.
Yeah, it's really, really cool to have things like that.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. This was awesome. If you could just tell everyone where they can find you.
Okay, well, we're on YouTube. We've started uploading content. We have so much being edited at the moment, ready to drop, hopefully soon. And, YouTube, Date Night with the Ghost Gang. We're on TikTok under Ghost Gang, I believe, Ghost Gang Australia. All the links are on the YouTube anyway, also on Facebook and Instagram. But thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it was great.
It's really nice to finally organize it and have a little chat.
Yeah, no, it took a few weeks to get this going, and then we had some technical difficulties getting you on here. I definitely want to have you back when your husband can join you, because I really like to hear some of his stories.
Yeah, I'd love him to have a little chat to you, because he has a different perspective on things, and he brings a different energy. And when we're together, we vibe off each other. It's really, mm-hmm. really cool. So I'd love to come back with Anthony.
Yeah, that'd be great. Maybe here in a couple of weeks, I'll have you guys back on. That'd be awesome.
It'd be fantastic.
Yeah. But thanks a lot for coming on. And once again, it's AFK Discussions. Thanks, guys, for checking out the show. Like, follow, subscribe, all that. If you have a story you want to share, please send me an email at afkdiscussions@gmail.com or on Instagram at AFK Discussions. Guys, thanks again for watching the show. Thanks again for listening to the show, and I will talk to you soon. Peace.
Thanks so much. What hearts beyond the edge of reason? Every answer spawns a deeper question. If you could see the